This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Regular listeners will know that I'm all about two things within the confines of this program, to be clear: history and context. And what we have with the events of the past 24 hours is an historical moment that is just screaming for some context. So we've gotten Dr. Christy Ironside on the phone. She's an assistant professor of Russian history at McGill University up in Montreal. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be here.
Let me get your thoughts, I guess, first of all, quickly on the news of the day. The Biden administration, the latest sanctions, and specifically knowing what you know about Russian history, how they might land over there.
Of course, it's all very worrying. And my immediate reaction to it as somebody who's studied the Soviet economy is that Russia, of course, has a very long history of being excluded from the world economy. For most of the 20th century, the ruble was non-convertible. You couldn't use it outside of the Soviet Union's borders. And that made them very creative in the ways that they conducted foreign trade, in the way that they developed foreign currency reserves, because they simply had to do this to be able to engage with the world economy. So I know that this is something that the Putin government has been doing steadily since 2014, hoarding foreign currency and reducing the reliance on Western imports. This is a much longer history in this context.
There was a moment sort of after the end of the Cold War, the collapse of the Soviet Union. They made some nods to a market economy. What was this Russian economy like when Vladimir Putin came to power 20 something years ago?
To put it really bluntly, it was a complete disaster. The 90s were an extremely economically difficult time for Russians. In other parts of the rest of the world, the U.S., the 90s were a relatively prosperous time. But in Russia, of course, they were coming off of, you know, aggressive shock therapy, reforms to the economy, trying to, you know, make the ruble convertible, of course, but also undo some of the subsidies and the price controls that had existed in the Soviet period, all of which really meant a much higher cost of living. It meant also a sort of decline in living standards, a quite precipitous decline in living standards in the 1990s for the average Russian.
His pitch, Putin's, was back when he first came to power, was basically economic stability, right? You look at all that you just explained to us, and he said, I can take care of that. I got it.
Yeah, this is one of the things that he did when he came to power. He clawed back some of the wealth that had been accumulated by the oligarchs. He also created the Stabilization Fund, which was a massive fund of money that allows the Russian government to tide itself over, especially to tide over things like the welfare state when there are shocks to oil prices. Because, of course, oil revenue is still one of the most important sources of income for the Russian government.
Okay, so how do you square the promises that Putin made with his actions now, which, and look, we're going to have to wait to see how this plays out. As the president said today, it's going to take a while. But clearly it will lead to Russia being more economically isolated and having a harder time of it.
This is the big question. At the end of the day, the people who will pay for this are Russians, ordinary Russians, who are going to see a higher cost of living, who are going to see their opportunities for travel, for leaving the country restricted. This is going to be really tough for them. And this is coming, of course, after a period in which the economy has already been very tough for them since 2014 and during the pandemic.
We'll note here that you are an historian of the Russian economy. You're not an economist. So I'm going to ask you the anecdotal question and not the analytical question. You studied over there, right? You must have at certain points in your career.
I did. I spent a lot of time in Russia in the 2010s for dissertation research. And then I was there for a year after I finished my PhD. I had a postdoc there in 2014.
Gotcha. Were you getting paid in rubles?
I was getting paid in rubles.
Okay. So you know where I'm going now, right? In 2014, the ruble fell off the table. It's down hard today. What does that mean for, you know, the grandmother going out to buy a loaf of bread?
It means that prices are going to go up, and they're going to be the ones who shoulder the sort of daily burden of this.
So, one last thing, and then I'll let you go, Professor. The Russians make no secret of the fact that they like to be considered a hardy people. They've dealt with trauma and difficulty for literally generations, right? Do they endure this? What do you think it takes to make them say, okay, we don't want you anymore, President Putin?
I honestly have no idea. I can tell you, as to your first question, they have definitely endured these kinds of crises before. They have made do with less. They have grown their own food. They have, you know, eaten the Russian domestically produced mozzarella that tastes nothing like the EU imported stuff. It has happened before, seriously. So I think that, you know, there is a great capacity to deal with this. But of course, what this does in terms of confidence in the economy, confidence in the leadership, I don't know.
Dr. Kristi Ironside, she's a professor of history up at McGill University in Montreal. Professor, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.